All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again talking about the challenge War of the Worlds. It has been a little while, but I am really excited to dive back into everything that's been going down since the last time we chatted with these same two guests. As usual, I have with me here Matt Liguori and Brian Scally. I guess let's first bring in Liguori, fresh back from Canada. Are you still in Canada? What's the scoop?
I'm not in Canada still, but I was in Canada. I did see Dom in Canada, your co-host, which not sure the last time you guys talked together, but Dom is still alive and well, thriving in Toronto. It was very good to see him for a couple of hours the other day. And yeah, Big Brother Canada is now over, which means that I have extra time to focus on shows like this. Survivor's ending soon, so very excited as we're getting towards the final here.
Did you enjoy the ending of Big Brother Canada this season?
I enjoyed it because I think there was a worthy winner, and it probably also had a lot to do with the fact that I was there and having like the time of my life. So it was a lot of fun. And I think the season was starting to look a little bad, but like I said, like this fun experience at the end probably is like lifting it up a little bit. So yeah, had a great time.
Awesome. And Scally, how have you been doing, buddy?
I am good. I'm back with a brand new microphone. Hopefully that sounds better. Excited to dive back into the challenge for the first time in what feels like months and months and may actually be months and months.
It may be. I think we last were in here talking about the first six episodes. Liguori, you rewatched everything today that we haven't talked about yet. It is episode 7 that you started with?
Yeah, episode 7 through 14. I know you're like a strict like anti-speeding episodes and podcasts and everything up, but I sped it up. I got through everything real fast, and it was pretty much of an experience. Yeah.
No, to quickly clarify that point, I have no issue with speeding things up. If you're rewatching it, that's totally fine. If you're taking notes on the sequence of events in order to make Colin Stone's life easier, by all means, watch it whatever speed you want.
So I guess Dom is only watching things on the first time when he's talking about watching it like 2x speed, 2.5.
As far as I ever know, which is, of course, psychotic, but story checks out there. Yeah, I wanted to start just in looking at kind of the bigger picture of this season, because one thing that we hit on pretty early and often, I think, in our last podcast was just how much we're enjoying this season overall. And Scally, I think you were more on my kind of wavelength, where I was talking about this as potentially my favorite season in years. Has it continued to meet that kind of standard for you?
Yeah, I would say so on a week-to-week basis, especially. We were getting, you know, eliminations every single episode. We had the proper format we were used to back from, you know, when we enjoyed the show a little bit more than maybe the trilogy. And I was excited. I think we've run probably into a few hurdles coming up on the end, things I'm nervous about, like having men and women compete against each other in the final. But overall, I very much enjoyed this season.
Yeah. Liguori, you were, I think, a little lower on it overall, but I think more just by virtue of having enjoyed the more recent seasons more than Scally and I did. How has this been stacking up for you now that we've seen the bulk of this play out?
Yeah, and I hate to sound too like pessimistic, but I still feel like I'm at that level of being a little bit lower than you guys are. I don't know. It's still been a fun season, and there's still like I'm still like loving the fact that, you know, I have Wes on my TV, and it's weird because like I'm a noted Cara Maria fan. I've been enjoying her for my entire time watching the show, but maybe it's just the fact that Cara is about to make her fourth final in a row that I'm just kind of like, maybe something different would be helpful to make me still like loving each week in each new episode or something. I don't know. I feel like it started off and I was having a lot of fun, and then just I've kind of not lost interest, but like it hasn't been as fun for me, like you said, as like last season was. I had a lot of fun with last season, the one before, and this one's just, I don't know, it's feeling a little different.
Do you feel like potentially, Liguori, that difference could be just how many newbies we now have making it deep into the game, where we saw them highlight at the end of the last episode? There are only three people who've even been on this show before that made it to the finals. Is it weird potentially not having as many of the bigger characters as we're used to making it to the end?
That definitely has, I think, something to do with it. I mean, looking around at the board of like people who are still left, of course, you know, we've got Turbo, love that guy to death, would take a bullet for him. But you have people like Ninja, who I have not really been enjoying during the season. Maddie seems like a great competitor, but she hasn't been like popping on the TV show as much. Same with Theo. He's not like the biggest character. So I'm just like looking around like, all right, go Wes and Turbo and I mean, even one of the three vets that's making this final, Hunter, he like wanted to quit a few weeks ago, and he's like barely seeming to care about this season. So I don't know. I don't know if it's maybe it is just the people that are that have gone deep. A lot of my favorites have gone out to this point. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but I don't know. I think it has kind of gone down.
Yeah, perhaps a decided swing in a negative direction for you at the end of this most recent episode.
Yeah, you don't say. You don't say.
Yeah. Scully, what do you think about just the makeup of people that have made it to the end? Has that potentially been one of the things that's been a roadblock for you in preventing this from being like the easy best season in a long time?
See, whereas I feel like I was so high on this season coming in on the strength of the new people, and I really enjoyed it being mixed up. I thought across the board, they didn't have too many flops, especially for what you would consider on, you know, the recent additions to other seasons of the challenge. So I was excited. And then I feel like we got a lot of focus on the characters we do know already that we might have not needed. And now that we're at the end with five new players, and I don't feel like I know all of them that well, I feel a little less invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am with that. I also think, as you flagged up, Scally, the deviation from having an elimination in every episode kind of annoyed me. I really was loving that, and I do understand they have however many episodes they need to fill out, and the timing isn't always going to line up perfectly, but that, at least if I am going to nitpick, took a little bit of the wind out of my sails. But I agree with your overall kind of sentiment, at least entering the season, that the newbie casting has really been a overall kind of home run for me. Yeah, there have been people that haven't exploded off the screen, but I think they have found quite a few that could be really interesting characters for a long time, on top of people like your boy Paulie Liguori, who is relatively new to the show and seems like he could be around for a while. I really am excited just overall about what this season means for the state of the challenge going forward.
Yeah, they definitely added some great competitors in the past, the past few seasons. I think now that maybe they've started, you know, their journeys on the show, they've created some storylines. You know, this is Georgia, this is Bear's first season. Now that there's like some history with the two of them on the show going into next season, maybe there will be a little bit more that we can, you know, have with the two of them. I've loved Georgia, and you know, I'm happy that she made it to the final here. I think she's somebody that I'm really going to be rooting for, especially having like known her before the season from Love Island. But I don't know, I feel like we just need to see them in like their second season to maybe get a little bit more juice, before it's like it becomes a little too stale. Like Scally said, we haven't really seen a whole lot from everybody, and we're going into the final. I'm like, all right, so I guess I'm just rooting for the people that I know at this point.
Yeah. I am optimistic, though, that we are going to get more seasons down the line of a lot of the people that are first-timers here but ended up making it to this final. Before we dive in on the specifics, I wanted to quickly return to something. I think it was you, Scally, who flagged up the having just one grand prize and eight people running against the running the final one-on-one times eight, essentially, where it does not appear at this point that it's going to be split between like a separate men's pool and women's pool. Do we know for sure, Scally, that that is not going to be the case? Because at least in thinking about it, it wouldn't blow me away if we showed up and TJ said, we're going to split the 750. There's 375 up top for the best man and best woman.
Yeah, there's always the 2% chance with the challenge that they pull something over that I wasn't expecting, but I am pretty confident in saying there will be one winner this season. It's completely individual, men versus women. I am excited about the preview of the challenge in that it looks to be very difficult. They're probably going to end up doing it in stages, which I don't love, but at least like the scale of it is back to where it was. So I'm excited about that. In terms of it being men versus women, every person for themselves, I feel like I would have been fine if there either was a prize for the men and the women, or if we had stayed in pairs, I would have had no problem with the season playing out. But now it's kind of, you know, in that gray area where I'm not so sure how this is going to go.
I hate it so much.
I think I do at least as well, and the only reason I'm holding out hope is because, you know, if they show up and you tell them they're playing in guy girl pairs and then announce that the top guy and top girl each get a separate $375,000, it seems like it would indicate to them that they could potentially get split up. Otherwise, it would just be a team prize, right? I guess I am probably being optimistic and thinking it may be split among genders, but I guess I am preparing myself now for showing up and it really just being 750,000 up top.
Yeah, and why are we doing 750,000 when we had 1 million last season? Like, what's the difference here? Why is this less of a deserving cast that they get less money?
I would guess that may have something to do with the episode order, right? That they only have whatever it is, 13, 14, you know, maybe 15, 16, 17 weeks to fill out, depending on how many parts they stretch the reunion into, yeah. Whereas the previous seasons were like 35 episodes.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just like, I mean, I was saying this to you guys a little earlier. It's just when you're going to have a cast with 34 people, I think is the number from the season, with so many people on it, and you're going to have one person walk away the winner, how is anybody ever going to win? Like create a name for themselves as being like a two-time, three-time challenge champion if it's just going to be the one person winning this season. And then, you know, it's not like everybody's coming back every single season. Some of these people are getting calls a little less often now that they keep digging in to find more new blood, like from the UK, from Big Brother, whatever it is. So people are getting called back a little less. People are going to be winning less often, unless I guess your name is Cara Maria, because, you know, fourth final in a row. But I don't know. I feel like I just wish that more people were getting a chance to walk away from the season after, you know, playing such a strong game, making it to the final and saying like, yes, I accomplished something, I won, not just I made the final and lost.
Yeah, I also feel like one potential thing I would like to see changed, while I am generally an advocate in these social political games of putting almost all of the money into first place to incentivize playing exclusively for first place, I think just in terms of the way the challenge operates in practice, it's borderline insane to me that first place is $750,000 and third place is like 15 grand or some enormous, like, life altering swing is, as we see in a lot of these finals, quite often determined by like 1 or 2 minutes, or last season wasn't even a matter of seconds that Paulie and Natalie ended up losing by in the end. It seems crazy to me that all of these people are putting in almost identical effort over the course of the season, and it just comes down to sheer variance for who's going to get an insane amount of money.
Yeah, what I will say is I think last season there was no second place prize. So at least they're going back to having second and third get some money. Ideally, this would be split up a little more evenly, which I think would really put – because right now, if someone comes in third or someone comes in eighth, I don't care. I really don't care to see who is like finishing out that order. So I'm checking out of the last 5 minutes of the episode. Yeah. In terms of why the prize is only 750, I think it's 1 million total for the finalists. They also did recruit people like Bear and other people who had, you know, very large salaries coming their way. So I think part of it went there. But overall, I think there's a few things that they could change to fix this final, but I'm excited to see that again, like I said, the scale of it.
Yeah. And do we know, I think one of you mentioned to me before we came on air, it's looking like a two-part final, and then they will probably stretch the reveal out over at least 2 or 3 weeks, right?
I think something like that. Like, I thought that it was supposed to be like this past week was the purge and then we go into the final and then the reunion. But I saw a tweet from them like last week, maybe, that was like 3 more episodes until the final. But then this week's preview also said the final is coming up like next week. So I have no idea what they're doing.
Okay. I guess TBD, but either way, very close to the home stretch here. And I think let's dive into some of these players here. And while we have obviously a lot to be catching up on, and I do want to go, at least I have in my notes, people listed in the order that they were eliminated. Obviously, guys, feel free to jump around wherever. But the place I want to dive in here is actually with the most recent people who were eliminated. And in an effort to start this podcast in a more positive direction, let's begin with Davon. I know both of you are big Brother fans. I have known Davon for many years at this point. And this performance here this season, I will absolutely own, surprised the hell out of me from Davon. She won at least one or two individual competitions and then several eliminations. Liguori, what is your thought on Davon here at the end of this season?
Davon showed up in such a major way. And I mean, I picked Davon with my fifth pick in the draft, not fifth over, like my fifth pick. It was down between Davon and Amanda for the rookies. And then, you know, all the newbies were still available. And I wanted to get that last vet on my team. And I was like, all right, well, Davon and Jose had a pretty decent performance. Let me just take a swing with somebody that I like and want on my team. Davon impressed me way beyond anything that I ever could have imagined from her. She won three eliminations this season. Two of them were with Bear. The other one was the one we just saw this week when she beat D with the tug of war. She killed it. She, you know, she, like she said on the episode, she's not the greatest with the main challenges, but the eliminations, somehow she comes in, she shines. This is where she's thriving on the show right now. And you know, I don't know, you know, she likes to trick us a little bit saying, you know, I'm done with the show. I only did wanted to do those couple of seasons. I mean, I think that she's going to keep coming back for more. I hope she does, because she's found a good spot. She's pretty good with the social game. She kind of got thrown in, you know, the tribunal would pick her name here or there, but it was mostly because she was tied to Bear. I don't think she made too many enemies on her own. You know, there's some stuff that came her way, but I think she had a very impressive season. I'm so proud of her, and I can't wait to see what she does next.
Is it fair to say that Davon is a better The Challenge player than she is Big Brother player?
It's not even close. Like, Big Brother, she kind of, like, I feel like gives up halfway through the season. She's like, you know what? This is a lot. And, like, you guys are going, like, crazy with the gameplay, and I'm not doing well in the challenges because, I don't know, they're just they're not, I guess, made for her. I don't know what – I think she just is way more invested in this show than she ever was in Big Brother. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was – you know, hand up, someone who thought Davon was primarily, if not almost exclusively, put on this show to give great confessionals and almost certainly lose at a certain point. And this performance very much exceeded my expectations. And it turns out Davon is an absolute beast in this game. And at this hour, I have a hard time kind of putting her in that super top tier with people like Kara or like Laurel, or I think Maddie is someone who after this season could be considered there. But Scally, what do you think about Davon just as a challenge player after this season? If she does come back, do you see her having win equity potentially in future seasons?
Okay, so first, what I want to say is Davon sold herself a little short in saying that she shines in the eliminations, which is true, but she was saying the main matches, like, they're not her place to shine. But if you look back at this season, she won two with a partner, and then she won the very first episode in running down the dune and running back up, solving the puzzle. So I don't think Davon is as big of a slouch in the main challenges as she might have you believe. I really think that if Davon works on her endurance outside of the show, which is one of the easier things to work on, I think, in terms of coming back on a future season, I think that she could actually end up in that, you know, maybe second to top tier. I think that she's very exciting. I would say Davon is probably, you know, in terms of confessionalist and just in general, Davon's probably my second favorite person in the world. And that's only because Turbo's number one. So there's really no competing. But I am very, very excited for Davon's future on the show.
Yeah, the good news is you can hit the treadmill, but there is no treadmill for being bad at the social game, as many of these players are afflicted with.
Yeah, and they talked about before the season, like, or not before the season, when the rookies were at their, you know, their training camp or whatever, and then eventually the rookies were the ones who got to pick the vets this season. Davon, remember, was the first pick, I think, from the, or maybe the second, first or second pick from the women's side. When Bear got to pick his partner, he picked Davon, and I think all of the guys on the rookie side were looking at Davon as one of the strongest competitors out there. They saw her do well in the first challenge, and they saw, I don't know, I think they just looked at her as somebody that was a strong player compared to the rest of them. I don't know. And like Scally said, I mean, you know, I wasn't even thinking about how she had already won those two main competitions, I mean, whatever. But I think, yeah, she's got some stuff to improve on. But she's, like I said, she had a really good season.
Yeah, I have no memory of whatever this draft is you were alluding to. But if she was your fifth round pick, then that might have been the steal of the draft.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'm looking, I mean, I have the draft board usually pulled up during these podcasts, not just to like,
and 24 24/7.
Score.
It's the wallpaper on your phone.
Can't confirm or deny. But it's so easy to like just look at their faces while we're talking, and it's great. Devon has 28 points on the season, which is way more than Jenna, way more than Nani.
Way more than me.
I'm looking at like CT Banana. Yeah, she has 28 points to herself while your entire team put together 43 points. So, yeah, that's something. She was crazy impressive.
Yeah. Scally, do we think we're going to see Devon back regularly, or are we just hoping to get one or two more seasons out of her at this point?
Well, I think what happens with the challenge for people who don't know is there is a pay scale that once you appear on full seasons of the challenge, you go up in your pay every season. So once Devon, you know, hits four or five seasons, she's going to start getting paid a top dollar for just appearing on the show. So I think right now it may be, okay, I don't really want to come back, and I'll come back for one more. But then later, it's going to become a lot harder to turn down these paychecks that are significantly higher than you get on your first or second season.
Yeah, it's I know at grocery stores, I know a friend of mine worked at a grocery store for like a decade because they like have to increase your pay by a few dollars an hour every year. So by the end, he was making some insane amount to stock shelves, essentially. And it seems like at this point on the challenge, Johnny Bananas is like the 75-year-old making $90 an hour, putting loaves of bread in the right place.
Yeah, pretty good comparison. I think that makes sense for Devon. I feel bad for all the Jemmy stands out there, which, you know, myself included, because the longer Devon is doing well on the show, the less likely we are to see her again. So,
yeah, that is an angle I hadn't considered, but certainly something she's probably got to sweat at this point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So there goes Devon, sadly. Would have loved to see her make the final. And sadly, at least for you, Liguori, we also saw Polly Calafiore end up going down here just before this season's final. What are your parting thoughts here on Polly Calafiore? Is this 2.0 or 3.0 for Polly?
2.0 for Polly and Devon. How are you going to tell me you didn't look in his eyes when he was crying to us about how close he came to the final, and you didn't feel a little bad? A little bad? No?
Okay.
Probably not, because it's you.
This may have been – okay, let me preface this by saying – I have done a lot of podcasting over these years. I don't know how many hours, but many, many hundreds of hours of podcasting. And it is entirely possible that what I'm about to say may be the most negative thing I've ever said about any contestant I've ever talked about in my entire podcasting career. But I loved every minute of Paulie's elimination just because of the way it went down, where he was, if not literally the first to go, one of the first to go on this challenge, and did a bad job and had to just watch in near certainty that he was about to be eliminated for I don't know how long it took, but I would guess at least an hour, a couple hours, having to stand there just praying that the rope would snap on someone else or some fluke would occur where he could save himself. And because of the way that played out, there were so many confessionals from Polly weaved in throughout the entire episode where he was giving updates on every person's turn and hoping that maybe this could be the time that something goes his way. And it was very clear in a few of those that they had been taped out of order or whatever, and he had very obviously just been weeping in the confessional booth, and I wasn't sure if they were going to show it, but I was reveling in just the knowledge that this clearly was not going to go Polly's way, and he was still taking it extremely hard. I know I have been a critic of having Polly on the challenge in the first place. I hate that behaving like such an unapologetic and just overt shithead 24/7 is working out and getting him so close to so much money. But now that I've seen how this went down, where Polly comes just you know, inches away potentially, last season seconds away, this time a knot or two away on that rope swing from getting life-altering money for himself, I would happily sign up for Polly coming back, doing this over and over and over again, just to come up short and watch him cry every time. I am here for all of Polly's tears.
All right,
and
well, it's not going to keep happening like this. He will win a challenge or multiple challenges, and you're going to remember this moment as the only time that you enjoyed Polly failing on the challenge this bad. So take it while you can.
I am enjoying it while I can. I am open to the possibility that he will come back and win a future challenge. I obviously saw what a good job he did in many of the main matches this season. And did he even end up in a single elimination? He just got eliminated in the Purge, right?
No, him and Ninja were in an elimination against your girl Cam and Ashley, and they took them out. So the one time.
Either way, I absolutely hope that Pauly continues his career on the challenge, finding increasingly embarrassing ways to waste his time, and misses many real life opportunities by making that his priority. So I have zero sympathy. Fuck Pauly Calafiori. Good riddance.
This is the only reason that you wanted us to do this podcast today. Yeah, you needed to get that off of your chest. I feel it. I feel it coming off of your chest.
Yeah. Scally, what was your conclusion on Pauly Calafiori here at the end of this season?
I might be coming around on Pauly.
Yeah. you're outnumbered, Colin.
I will say, okay, so Pauly, do I want to be friends with Pauly? No. He's entertaining. Like, I don't want to be.
Sound like me when I was trying to pretend that I didn't like him.
Pauly is arrogant beyond belief. You can see he'll respond to the challenge Instagram, just like out of his mind crazy. But in terms of like, am I bothered by his presence on the show? Like, no. And we got to the point where I said other people have been underdeveloped. And I was like, who is my fourth or fifth person that I'm rooting for? Like, is it Pauly at this point? I don't know. And in terms of what we saw with him and Kara and Kyle, like, yeah, the storyline was pushed too hard and him and Kyle like got into it a little bit. But for the most part, the relationship that they showed with Pauly and Kara this season, at least not outside of this being included, like he was pretty supportive of her and they like were kind of like a, you know, cute couple. But so I'm interested to see where that goes.
To me, they seemed like the Brendan and Rachel of this season almost.
Favorites.
What's that?
They're my favorites.
Yeah, but it seemed like a lot of their supportive relationship potentially had to do with no one else liking them for the most part.
It did. And I mean, I will say that was kind of annoying. Like when Carr's walking around the house, like acting like the two of them are like getting laid for the first time in their life, like they're 14 years old. Like, I don't understand why that's happening. But I don't know. That's Carr and Maria. That's, you know, she's got her ex in the house and she's flaunting the pretty new boyfriend. So,
yeah, I don't know. I just really was happy to not see this go Pauly's way. And I feel like the critical distinction for me between Pauly and someone I ended up really liking, as ashamed as I potentially am to admit it on this season, Bear, is like you referenced, Scally, it seems like Pauly is almost just like not in on the joke to virtually any extent, whereas Bear seems self-aware to me and deliberately playing this up. It seems like Pauly is behaving in his natural reflexive way and is just a shithead.
Yeah, I would say Bear on the show, I completely agree. I like the shtick. I like him, you know, being self-aware about what an asshole he is. In terms of outside the show stuff, I'm not sure if the return on investment on Bear is going to be there long term. He's really, you know, just problematic outside the show.
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like the Bear I saw on the show.
It's a problem. I really think that MTV maybe wanted to take a second look before they invested so much money in this person, but he's here. He's probably going to be on next season, so we'll talk about it.
Yeah, and I will absolutely grant that I'm guessing pretty much everything I could find out about Bear would make me like him less. And it is just because this is my only exposure to Bear that I am such a fan, because it does seem like he's deliberately playing into the shtick.
That's probably right, but I mean, we're looking for good TV here, are we not? This is, Stephen Bear is the definition of good TV, so I am very happy with what we got this season.
Yeah, and Liguori, where do you think we are in terms of Big Brother? And I know the UK influence has had a lot to do with the way this season played out and may be a primary factor in next season as well. But as far as the Big Brother of it all, are we anticipating this being something they keep going back to and trying to bring new people from Big Brother onto the show?
In due time, absolutely. I think they kind of are kind of hitting a wall right now, because I think they want some of the Big Brother 20 people, but those guys aren't going to be available until after the summer. You know, you get a 1-year contract with CBS. Big Brother 20 was just last summer. So I think they do want to get a couple of those guys on, Brett or Caitlin, or I don't know. There's a couple of options from that cast. So I don't know if we're going to get them on this very next season that starts filming in like a week or so. But definitely the UK people. I think they have an endless supply of UK reality stars from all of the shows over there, and I think we could definitely be seeing a lot more of them at the very least soon. This experiment has been going very well.
Yeah, Scally, you have been my inside track on things that are coming in the future on the challenge. And is it still the case that we are potentially looking at a US versus UK season next year, according to the rumors?
It's definitely been thrown out there. I know that they have not flown out yet, so nothing's confirmed as far as that. That would make me nervous for the inclusion of my boy Turbo, but otherwise I would be very excited in terms of I haven't watched X on the Beach UK, but I have seen Love Island and Big Brother and a couple other shows over there, and there's an endless casting pool. I can't believe that MTV Canada never made their own challenge, and I think that they're probably kicking themselves now watching the success of their stars on MTV US.
Hey, if Turbo needs a green card marriage, I am happy to sign up to make him a US citizen for this season, this upcoming season. Any other parting thoughts on Polly or Davon, or just the Purge in general, I suppose? Did either of you find that objectionable in any way on this season, or is that just standard fare at this point?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty standard. I think, it kind of just makes sense at this point in the season, especially like, you know, you're about to go into the final. You got to see, like, Davon, I guess you're looking at these, the rest of the women that are on this field. Kara, Georgia, they have great endurance. Ninja is obviously strong as hell. Maddie is strong as hell. So Davon did stand out as like the weakest of the bunch. So when you're going into the final, you want the four strongest guys, the four strongest girls. And this group of guys was all very strong. So any one of them could have gone. And I guess lucky enough for you got to watch Paulie's dream get crushed. So
I don't think it's much of an exaggeration, if an exaggeration at all, to say that was my favorite night of reality TV that I remember. It may be like back watching Survivor when I was a little kid or whatever, watching Big Brother All-Stars as it initially aired. But to get to watch, I DVR'd, I was gone Wednesday night, but I DVR'd all the reality shows and then watched first The Challenge, followed by The Amazing Race. And to watch Paulie just weep his way out of the game, and then Amazing Race spoilers incoming, to watch Corinne and Eliza have to be eliminated while Rachel and Alyssa Riley talk down to them on the elimination mat, it was certainly the happiest I've been probably since the moment Wu voted out Cass to take Tony to the end. That's the last time I remember being like that enthusiastic about anything on reality TV.
Yeah, and this is like the closest I've come to hanging up mid-podcast, because please stop coming for Corinne and Eliza out of nowhere. Nobody asked your awful opinions on Corinne and Eliza. We're in the middle of a challenge podcast here. You're making me mad.
I'm just trying to get all of the negativity out of the way in this one podcast.
I don't like it. I'm not here for it.
Listen, I've got a big Survivor finale coming up where I'm really going to be trying to keep it as positive as I can, so let me get this out of my system.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, we will see how that one goes.
Maybe I'll just have to become a Rick Devens fan in the next 48 hours so that I can rub it in your face and be on the other side of it.
Now listen, I'm going to hang up.
No, nothing would surprise me at this point with you, Liguori. But let's talk through some of these people.
Just to jump in, there was a interesting thing that Paulie had brought up on another podcast, actually, when he had done his Challenge Mania interview, and basically alleged that the order in which they were doing the challenges was not so random, even if it was presented as such, and that frequently he would find his name coming out first, and potentially they even, you know, wrote it on a piece of paper, put them in the same order, and drew them out in that same order. So Paulie came in thinking, oh, they have something against him. I don't know if it was maybe they just wanted to see the Kyle and Paulie drama come to a head, but I thought that was at least interesting to know that they were thinking in that way.
Pauly handling losing poorly, that does not check out with me. That's surprising.
I mean, I feel like it was worth bringing up.
Okay. Listen, if they want to rig it against Pauly, go nuts as far as I'm concerned. But actually, the one other thing that I did want to bring up about Pauly was when he had that opportunity to potentially volunteer to go down in Hall Brawl against Kyle. I believe my exact words in last challenge podcast were either get in the octagon or shut the fuck up. And I thought that was the perfect opportunity for Pauly to completely shut people like me up forever, to take the bull by the horns and to prove that he's not all sizzle and no steak, and to step in there against a very hobbled Kyle. And while I don't disagree with his decision, I did love that he had that opportunity and was forced to decline.
So you're telling me that if Pauly went in and did that, you'd be here as a Pauly fan now?
I would at least certainly have much more, win or lose, I would at least say to myself, he is at least somewhat backing up what he's claiming in all of these confessionals that, to me, continue to just come across as complete bullshit.
I mean, it was not a smart game move in any way for him to volunteer himself to go down there. If he was voted in, or if he was able to be pulled in by Kyle and he was, you know, going to jump in step to the challenge, like, then, you know, that's another story if he, like, chickened out or something like that. But, like, in what world did it make sense for him to do that? That was just whatever, you know, producers were like, oh, can you just pretend that you would actually do this? I don't know. I didn't buy that for a second, and I'm glad he was not stupid enough to do it.
My interpretation was that it was not producers saying, hey, can you pretend to do this? My interpretation was it was Pauly acting like there was some chance he was going to be a tough guy when there is no chance he's going to be a tough guy. And that is just the general Pauly Calafiori story as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. All right. I don't know about that.
Enough on Pauly, I think. let's move on to happier topics. And actually, let's stay with, I think, the Big Brother theme. As we back up a little ways to Josh and Amanda ending up going out here in episode 7, and credit to Josh Martinez, he made it much further than I ever thought he would on one of these seasons. And I guess part of that was after being eliminated in the premiere and then getting to come back when the telenovela guy ended up cutting himself on the puzzle or whatever the hell happened to get Josh back in the game. But Scally, what did you think of Josh and Amanda managing to make it to roughly the midway point of this season?
Okay, so first, I was wrong. I apologize, Haley, for saying that he was my last pick of the draft. But, I mean, he was eliminated in the first if he didn't get saved. I was pleasantly surprised by Josh. I am completely fine with seeing him on another season, whereas I saw his name in the casting mix before and didn't understand why. Thought, oh, he can't handle this. He won't go out immediately, which he did, but he came back. And so I think that Josh does actually have a future on the challenge. I don't know that he ever really has a shot at winning in the next, you know, 5-10 years, but I am here for Josh, at least in the immediate future.
Liguori, do you think Josh has a chance of coming back? Because I think I would at this point certainly be leaning no, if not strongly no.
What? I mean, why do you say that? I'm curious. I mean, my answer is yes, he will be back, but why don't you think he will be?
It seems like they have more interesting characters that are also much more competitive players.
Okay. I mean, I know that they wanted him for a while when, you know, like the same issue that the BB20 people are having, like his contract wasn't up when they first wanted him. They eventually did get him. And I think he wants to be there, and I think they want to have him there. I think he's a different kind of character that they have on the guy's side. He's not afraid to get emotional. He's not afraid to start crying when he starts getting into a fight with somebody. And I think that's something that they don't usually have. And I think it was a welcomed addition to the season. I don't know how far he's going to go in any season that he comes back on. I think, you know, that what happened in the Purge challenge could happen to him literally any season. He's not the strongest guy out there. He does have a lot of heart, though, so I think that could carry him pretty far. And I still follow the guy on Instagram, and he has been training his ass off for the past couple of weeks. So I feel pretty good about him being on the next season. And if he's going to do well or not, hard to say, but I know he's trying.
Okay, it's good to hear that if he is going to be out on that next season, he is working really hard to get in good shape. That's
really hard, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I would love to. I certainly would be fine at the very least with seeing Josh back out there. I just meant you know, not really knowing much about who's rumored to be out there or whatever, it would not have surprised me at all if Josh ended up never being back on the challenge. I would have him kind of in the same tier as Jose, where it wouldn't floor me to see them invited back. It would completely make sense for a ton of different reasons. It just equally would not leave me surprised if they were one and done.
Oh, don't think you're done with Jose just yet. I'm pretty sure his name is on the list as well for next season.
That's exciting to me, and I'm hopeful that at this point that Josh will be back, because I agree he does bring something totally different than what we get out of the standard kind of MTV pool of challenge contestants.
Yeah, for sure. I think you know, his biggest blow up of the season was the fight with Ashley Kane, and he was, you know, he had a producer holding him back while he was crying. So, I mean, that's what they wanted from Josh. That's what they're getting from Josh. So, I don't know if it's going to be like multi seasons or anything like that. But for the time being, I think there's a spot for him.
Yeah, and Scally, what did you think of Amanda this season? I remember I ended up getting her on my team as, I think, potentially the last veteran in the entire field to be drafted, and I know I felt good about that at the time, just on the grounds that she could get a good partner and find herself deep in the game. I would not at this point have been describing Josh as a good partner, but what did you think of how Amanda held herself this season?
Okay, so as someone who is still an Amanda fan, I still enjoy her very much so on my TV. It was still fun to watch her, you know, end up last picked, kind of like, what's going on? Why me? What do you mean? And just kind of have that like realization that like, oh, she doesn't have so many allies here this season. So and then once we saw her and Josh were paired together, I was like, all right, team train wreck, they're going home first. Very pleasantly surprised to see them make it this far. I think it was a fun dynamic. I would like to see Amanda back in the future for many more seasons. I'm not confident that's going to happen again in the immediate future. Whether she changes her mind or not, we will see. But I am still an Amanda fan.
Me yeah, too. And we didn't even talk about last time, and I think we talked about it after the podcast last time that we hadn't talked about this, but there was a big issue this season. There was a whole controversy. I think it was, I don't know, like right before they got eliminated or a few weeks before, there was some kind of situation where some of the guys in the house had tied Amanda up, kind of as a prank, but like obviously not a funny one. And something happened there where, they weren't like, nobody's allowed to talk about it. Like none of the cast members are allowed to talk about it on any kind of interviews. I think people were getting like messages from MTV, like the cast members were getting messages from MTV saying like, if you talk about this, like you are in trouble. So I don't know what happened there. I don't think we've gotten full detail. Scally might know more, but it sounds like Amanda's ready to take a break, if not a permanent break after all that.
Yeah, I've heard you know, rumblings about that situation. I know absolutely nothing about the details, but it seems like potentially kind of a big deal, and would not surprise me to see Amanda be done after this. And I would consider that too bad. I always really enjoy having Amanda on these seasons, even not usually thinking she's going to be in there with too great of a chance to, you know, dominate a ton of the competitions. But in terms of entertainment value, I've always felt like Amanda has more than pulled her weight.
Yeah, what I will say in terms of the details, and this is all through, there's multiple different people talking. I do think that there is enough there where it looks like it was Bananas, Hunter, and Theo were, from their point of view, joking around. From Amanda's point of view, she was crying, asking them to stop. They tied her up or taped her up, and they were like, oh, it's funny, and she clearly did not find it funny. Theo and Hunter apologized later. Allegedly, Bananas did not, where I think production generally would want to protect some of their stars, specifically Bananas. I really think, and I was going to bring this up later, I think they were trying to protect themselves, and I don't know how they still went with this later in the season by having an elimination where they literally had men taping women up later in the season, which I think is a questionable decision regardless. But then to put that in like contrast to the clear issue that they had earlier in the season, I don't know how this happened.
And I mean, Colin talks about the 75-year-old guy that's still stocking shelves in the store, like being Bananas. How is this guy, you know, he's seen things like in the past with some of his friends and things that like have gone down with past contestants that were like not okay. I don't know how in the world he was involved with this and thought that it was funny, thought that it was a good idea, thought that there was a camera in the room probably recording this and this made any kind of sense. I don't understand what might have happened here.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to come up with any kind of rationale for that sort of thing, but especially for a guy who has played with the Evan and Kennys of the world and seen how sideways things can go when people are drunk in the challenge house. And I wonder, this is a somewhat dark hypothetical to imagine, but what is the line on like the severity of crime Johnny Bananas could be convicted of and maintain his spot on MTV? Because obviously he can't murder someone or whatever, but I feel like he could get away with at least like petty theft or something and still get still stay on the show.
Yeah, I don't know what the line is. Like, is there a line?
Tax evasion, baby.
There are, and this is a whole nother thing. There are allegations also against Bananas from him filming the show, and I'm forgetting the name of it, the one in Clonely or whatever it is.
Oh no, Game of Clones.
Game of Clones, where he
that was a great title though that you just came up with.
I was like, I don't remember. I think it was one of the lines. That,
One in Clonely.
Okay, but I think it was a pun.
I'm gonna say
show.
Better than the actual title.
I believe that actually there were some allegations also against Bananas there, and those have been completely swept under the rug by MTV. So I think the line is unfortunately much, much further than we would like to think.
Not great times in the MTV production house, I would guess, if a lot of this stuff is going on behind the scenes. I guess we will potentially find out more details about that as they emerge.
Amanda's going to be at the finale. I know she was there with all the cast when they filmed the reunion. So it's not like it was at the point where she was like, I'm not going to the reunion. So I doubt it'll come up there, but I don't know if it's because like she had a contract that she had to go, but I imagine if this was like to the point where she was like, I am not doing anything MTV related anymore until this gets resolved, like she wouldn't have gone. I don't know, but at least like we do know that she will be at the reunion.
Okay, that's good. So I guess let's go from potentially the most controversial event of the entire season to the least controversial pair from the entire season, as we lose Jenna and Gus next. Although, LaGuardia, were there any you very courteously once again rewatched all of these episodes and have some notes. Did I skip over anything notable from the Josh and Amanda elimination episode that you wanted to get to?
I guess it's worth bringing up that I know that Josh, in his interview after he had come out of that episode, you know, they got eliminated, he went on Challenge Mania. He was talking a little bit about how him and Amanda were told, or just him specifically, he remembers hearing that you weren't allowed to go back to back in that elimination. Just to paint the visual for you guys, in case anybody forgot what that was, they were going up like this, like V-shaped wall, and they had a bar in front of them that was like hooked into pegs, and they had to keep pushing the pegs up, pushing the bar up around the pegs and climbing up the wall. Josh was told that like they couldn't go back to back while like keeping their feet on the wall, which is how Cam and Ashley ended up winning that challenge. Josh and Amanda took like a pretty commanding lead and then ended up falling because they got to a point where they just didn't know what else to do. It seemed like going back to back was the only way. So Josh was a little bit upset about how that played out after he felt like the rules were, I guess, not clearly explained. But yeah, that's about it from that round.
Okay. Well, then take two of seamless transition. Let's go from the most controversial event to the least controversial pair. Scully, what thoughts, if any, do you have on Jenna and Gus this season?
Who?
Yeah, seriously.
So preseason, again, I think one of the calls that I made was very wrong, is that Morgan would be coming for Jenna's spot on the challenge. I think that one of the calls that I made very right was that Jenna is maybe past her prime on this show. And I don't think it is necessarily any fault of her own. She unfortunately had the injury. I don't know that she's competing at the same level. Maybe she was paired up with Gus, who wasn't up to, you know, snuff. But I don't know that Jenna is necessarily bringing it from a competitive or a personality standpoint at the moment.
Yeah, I was wondering earlier in thinking, in trying to come up with anything to ask about Jenna and Gus. I have set the line, Scally, at 0.5 career challenge wins for Jenna, winning a season of the challenge. Are you going over or under?
I'm going definitely under.
Ligori, where are you?
I want to say over. I feel like I agree with what Scally's saying, and I agree that she's kind of like not going anywhere near where she wants to be in a challenge. But I don't know. I feel like she's still young. She's still, you know, I don't think they're going to stop calling her anytime soon. I think even if she takes a season or two off here and there, and there's obviously a lot of strong competitors, but all it takes is getting to a final, which she has been capable of in the past. And I mean, she can run. She can do some stuff. I feel like I'm not ready to close the book just yet.
Yeah, I think the door is open, especially if we go back to, as we may, it sounds, a team versus team kind of situation. I think that is where a lot of her challenge win equity lies, is seasons where it's not one individual winner. So I am absolutely open to the possibility that Jenna could get one, if not more, challenge wins, but at this point, I would probably be with you, Scally, in saying the safer money would be on the under. And that's unfortunate, just because Jenna, in the early part of her career, was someone who really brought it for me. I thought she was so funny on the show and filled a role that not many others could, it seemed to me. Within any given season she was on, she obviously, I think, got pretty lucky to make her first two or three finals or whatever in her early seasons, and maybe these last couple years have been variants regressing to the mean, to put it in kind of math or gambling terms. But I hope we have not seen the last of Jenna, and I would love to see her end up winning one of these seasons someday. Are she and Zach still together at this point, Ligori?
They are. They moved in together, and they are happy in love. Ugh. For now.
All right. I will resist the temptation to set an over-under on Jenna and Zach. do we think, Scally, there's any chance of seeing Gus again?
I think that there is a chance. I think Ligori's call of him being in the MTV family helping his chances definitely was a good one. But another thing that came out of that Josh Challenge Mania interview was allegedly, and Gus disputes this obviously, Gus came into the room with Josh and said basically, hey, I know I'm not getting any screen time. You want to stage a fight or something? Gus isn't, you know, bringing anything organically to the show. He's not that exciting from really any point that I can see personally, and I don't know why they would bring him back, but I could see it happening.
Yeah, and I mean, Gus's main show that he came from is Floribama Shore, and I know at the end of the most recent season there was a whole lot of him talking about like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to come back to the shore next time that you guys come, like, and I think he said that it was because of family reasons or whatever, but it seems like he might have like started to realize that like the challenge call was coming in and this could be something like new and exciting for him to do. And I feel like it's similar to the Josh thing in terms of like he wants to be there bad, and like if they're calling him for availability, he's probably like, oh, I'm available and I will be there the second you guys want me there, and I'm ready to go, I'm training, I'm gonna win this one. So I know he wants to be there badly as well, and at most maybe like one or two more challenges I think they could get from him before they're like, yeah, he is boring. So yeah. I don't know, we'll see.
I'm willing to give Gus one more shot at showing up and producing something above replacement level, but based on this first season, I will not be heartbroken to have Gus be someone who ends up one and done here. And I guess that brings us to our final team that was eliminated before the players were split up. One of the most heartbreaking episodes of the entire season for me here, when we lose my girl Cam and Ashley, who I ended up really liking based on what little we got to see of him this season. I guess let's start quickly with Ashley. Scally, what did you make of him, and is he someone we should be potentially on the lookout for in future seasons?
I can see us getting Ashley back mostly because of his, you know, physical size. I can't really think of anything outside of the fight with Josh that he was bringing to this season. I think it was partially due to his lower confessional count. I think that there's a lot of stuff that he and some of the other new players were doing, were fighting, were hooking up, were arguing, but it didn't make the final edit, so he ultimately didn't become as big of a character. I would be fine with seeing him back, but if you told me he was never, I'm not going to be heartbroken.
Yeah, I think what I really enjoyed about Ashley was the kind of contrast between having this super jacked dude also be the guy who it seemed like in every confessional was always on the verge of laughing and always in on the joke. I really liked having that kind of personality type along with this body type. I thought was a really fun combination. Ligori, where did you end up coming down on Ashley?
I got nothing. I mean, it's not even not a fan. It's just I got nothing. Like he was fine. I have literally zero takes. He's probably the person on this board that I have like the least to say about because I have nothing.
Okay, well, let's move to someone you potentially have more to say about. Cam, sadly, going out, I would say pretty early for Cam in one of these seasons based on when she could generally expect to be going out. What did you think of how all of this ended up going down for her this season?
Well, I want to know more so from you, like how you feel about this. This is your girl. This is the one that you want to pick her in every single draft. You love her. This is your ride or die that you love. So and like, you know, she's been great in eliminations over time. But it just seems like we're, I think, four seasons in now with Cam. Scally, is this three or four?
Your guess is better than mine. I think it's three.
She came in on 31. So 31, 30. This is her third season. And it's not happening. We're not getting to the end. We're not getting the final. We're not getting a win. Like, no, she did make one final, but I don't know. Like, what's going on, Colin?
I'm heartbroken. Like I said, it seems, at least on paper, like Cam should be among the front runners in any season she plays. And it continues to me to feel like she has been getting relatively unlucky in quite a few spots along the way. Obviously, no one needs to talk up her abilities in the entertainment department and the confessional department. That speaks for itself. She's one of the best they've had in years. But really, it seems like in terms of the challenges, even though she's found some individual wins along the way in a couple of her seasons, or I guess in some team wins in this capacity, it seems like Cam should be performing even better than she has at this point. And I was thinking, I almost have no choice now but to keep drafting Cam number one overall, just because I continue to believe in Cam's talent and her prospects at winning any given season. And I'm such a disciple of process over outcome that I can't not pick her and then have one of you idiots take her in a later round. And then that's finally the time she goes on to win. I'm too pot committed to Cam at this point. Scally, what did you think of Cam on this season?
I'm just confused where Cam was this season. I feel like even for how early she went out, I don't feel like we saw that much of her. And I think, you know, we saw the storyline with her and Theo and Leroy, but outside of that, I was surprised with how little we got from her. I'm definitely not ready to be done with Cam. I think we're, you know, luckily going to have her for seasons to come. I think ultimately she got very unlucky that she was sent home the week before this became a singles challenge. And I think she probably fares better on her own, even though Ashley is no slouch. But I just don't understand what happened to her.
Yeah, I think she got unlucky in a couple of different ways again this season. And while I don't think Ashley was a bad partner by any stretch, I think the lack of camera presence there potentially put them as a pair on the back burner, given the lack of influence it seems like they were having while they were in the house for the most part. Like you said, I think she got tremendously unlucky to lose just before getting split into the individual portion because, certainly there are people like Kara and Maddie in particular who I think may even be favorites against Cam in an individual elimination. Cam by herself, I think, is going to do much better than Cam and Ashley as a pair against most other pairs. So just more unfortunate circumstances surrounding Cam, and I will continue to be hardcore team Cam, I'm sure, hopefully for many seasons to come. So there go Cam and Ashley, and as we have referenced a few times at this point, the teams are now splitting up. I was blown away when we found out, I think in the preview the next time on the challenge, that the teams were going to get split. I thought that it was very likely we would end up seeing a partner swap like we saw on the table right around the time that we recorded our last podcast. I think that was our general kind of consensus is that would be more the twist we would see as people switching teams around. But Liguori, what did you think about seeing everyone split into individuals? Was this a total blindside for you as well?
It was, but also it shouldn't have been. Like, this is probably the direction that they're going to be going in anytime that they do a pair season in the future. For some reason, they seem to really like going to the end with everybody an individual. I don't even know. When was the last season that they had pairs all the way to the end? Bananas and Sarah's season? Rivals final, 3, I guess?
Final Reckoning.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess, yeah, that's obviously correct. But I don't know. I feel like they just seem to really like going to the end in singles. And I don't understand why, because I think all of these pairs were pretty good. Like, they ended up working out. The dynamic builds between the two by the time the season gets to, like, the halfway point. And then you get to a final and, you have Paulie and Ninja together, who were obviously a very strong team. Or you have somebody like Hunter and Georgia together. They had their differences throughout the season. Can they hold it together to win a final? Probably not. So I don't know why they had to break them apart. And then things get messy. People get lost. It's like Paulie and Ninja were such a strong team, and now it's like Ninja's floating off in the middle of the space with holding on to D for dear life. And I don't know. I feel like people kind of lost their way after they split up. So I don't know how much I liked it.
Yeah, in retrospect, this may have been as in favor of the idea of having some kind of massive twist in the game, like splitting people into individuals. I think, like preseason, if I heard the producers were intending to start it out in pairs and then split them down the line, I would have been on board with that being an interesting idea. But I think you're right, Liguori, the way this ended up playing out, this may have been one of the kind of major factors for me that dampened my enjoyment of the more recent episodes, is having so many people seemingly just like floating around in space. Scally, what did you think about everyone splitting into individuals?
Yeah, so it was in the air. I remember just even on Twitter, on podcasts, people were talking about how, oh, do you think they're going to split up later? And I was thinking, that's not happening. Why are people even discussing this? I remember in our Final Reckoning draft podcast, we were drafting as if maybe they'll split up. And of course, this season never crossed our minds. And then, boom, should have assumed with how rampant challenge spoilers are out there that, oh, yeah, of course, like, it's leaked out there that at some point they'll split up. Mm-hmm. I am not loving it as much as I was when they were ultimately teams. I still like enough of the people out there, but I think you see in that they have defaulted to team eliminations, team challenges occasionally, that I don't know, was this planned? Was it not? Were they ultimately not happy with the decision after? It's confusing.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred seeing a partner swap potentially than having them split into pairs. But I do, again, understand at least the impulse on their end that this could have been a more exciting thing than it seems like it ended up being, a more exciting twist than it ended up being. But it's still, not to sell it completely short, I still feel like these last several episodes have been a lot of fun. It's just a completely different dynamic where it seems like a lot of the things that we were building up in the first 7 or 8, 9, 10 episodes of the season were suddenly, I don't want to say loose ends, but just kind of abandoned as we hit this completely new phase of the game. But I guess let's get into that. After we end up seeing these teams split, we have the challenge where, I believe the first challenge, right, is where they're the wind tunnel challenge, where they're pulling, they're dragging all the giant rubber balls through, and Bear thinks he's won, and then it ends up being his elimination episode. That was the exact kind of thing that I was talking about, where it seems like Bear is totally self-aware and is playing up this kind of persona, whereas Paulie, it always came across to me like he was just behaving organically. But I loved it when Bear was screaming at everyone, "Loser! You're a loser!" And then he has to find out that he was, like, disqualified, not disqualified, but lost on a technicality. I thought this was like the perfect send-off episode for Bear, and I really, at the end of the day, enjoyed what I got to see on TV of Bear 1.0. Again, I'm sure there is a lot about Bear the person that may leave something to be desired, but Liguori, I guess let's start with you. What did you think of Bear in this trial phase of what it sounds like maybe a recurring role here on the challenge?
Yeah, I think I was saying earlier that I enjoyed Bear a lot. I think he's a great television character, and in terms of a challenge competitor, you know, he held his own. Him and Dave Vaughn won two eliminations. They won, I think they made it into the tribunal once. So you know, he was okay. He wasn't the best, and that's why it was so funny when he got so cocky and he started yelling at everybody, because that's what he does. He makes good TV. He starts yelling at people for no reason. He gets overconfident, and then he gets slapped in the face with reality. It's great. Yeah. So, I mean, as much as I'm complaining about the teams getting split, one person who was not complaining was Davon. Davon getting to split apart from Bear was the best thing that could have happened to her game. She kept getting put into the getting picked by people who were in the tribunal as a team that was, you know, being considered to go into the elimination. So having that separation for her was amazing. Obviously, Bear's going to go out a few weeks earlier than Davon did, you know, now that he's available on his own. It wasn't very long at all before he ended up getting called in by Kyle, who, you know, was the one voted in this episode. But like I said, Bear was fun television. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but he's not going anywhere. So sorry to all of those of you who do not like him.
Yeah, as entertaining as I found him, and as well as it seems like he did in a lot of the challenges, one of the bigger surprises to me, frankly, in terms of challenge performance this season was just how good Bear was in a lot of these different things. But Davon, I'm sure, was quite happy to split apart. And along similar lines, I thought one of the funniest things of the whole season was Kyle freaking out about losing Maddie as his partner and now being totally vulnerable. I thought he was very funny in making roughly that same point at that point in the game. Scally, what did you take away here from Bear 1.0, and what are you expecting for Bear in the future? Is it going to be ramped up to an 11 or a 12, or is he going to come in next time potentially with more of a focus on winning?
I see this being exactly what we get from Bear every single time he's on. Any show that I've seen him on, this has been exactly what you get. I was actually very surprised to see Bear actually would have won that challenge had those two balls made it, and he would have been the single highest like point getter on that season, on that challenge. And so to have him lose, like you said, on, you know, the technicality of having them fall out, is like the perfect way for Stephen Bear to go out. And so as a TV character, I'm excited to see him back, but I do have the issue and the problem of separating that from the person in real life.
Yeah. And incidentally, hearing him referred to as Steven is a lot like hearing you called Brian, where it's like, who the fuck is Steven?
Haley likes to call Brian Scally Brian. That's a shout out to our missing panelist.
Yeah.
That is one thing. I remember being called Brian in college and being, oh, me, you're talking to me.
It gets me every time.
Yeah, it confuses me myself. So
yeah, so I enjoyed very much Bear on this season and hope to have him back in the future. Again, I don't need to know anything about the details of Bear's personal life to staunchly disavow Bear's personal life, but as a TV character, I am all in on having Bear on the challenge. Guys, sadly, after this, we are going to lose Nani, who I had a good time seeing back on the challenge, but unfortunately, it seems like another one of the characters that was a little lower visibility than most people probably would have liked at this point. Scally, what did you make of seeing Nani back after, I'm going to say, so long, just because it feels like it's been so long, but maybe it was only like 3 seasons.
I think actually I really enjoyed Nani's return to the challenge, and I don't think that it's surprising to have enjoyed her being back, but this isn't what I necessarily expected out of Nani. I think that she's proven because every time I kind of forget how good Nani is at these challenges, and especially her relationship with Turbo. I don't love her with Hunter. I really wish that wasn't a thing. But her friendship with Wes and how she balanced her and Bananas and Wes and Turbo, and it was entertaining for me. So I'm definitely excited to see Nani back in the mix.
Is she going to be potentially back in the mix in the future, or was this just dipping her toes back in for one last hurrah and it didn't really go as planned?
I don't have the list in front of me, but
she's on the next one. Okay. She's on the list for the next one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we can expect to see Nani back. I think single Nani's back. I'm excited for what it's going to bring. She's not tied down with the boyfriend she was at home. She's out of school, and I'm glad to have her back.
Yeah, I, too, was not a fan of Nani and Hunter. I literally screamed at my TV, "Nani, no!" when that scene first made air. Liguori, what did you think of Nani this time around? Whatever it is, Nani, like, 9.0.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what number, but I mean, on the flip side of Devon being happy to be split from her partner, Nani was probably not too happy to be taken away from Turbo. They were looking pretty strong together. They won a couple of challenges. I don't think they hadn't gone into an elimination together or anything, but they were looking pretty good. I was like, oh, look, Nani has like a pass to the final right now. She has Turbo by her side, so she could not have been happy to lose him. I think she wasn't as quiet as we might be thinking she was, because I mean, she wasn't like, you know, out in front involved in a whole lot of drama, but there was still plenty of Nani stuff going. I mean, a couple of weeks ago I remember the scene of her and Cara Maria talking about like the veteran respect between the two of them, because Nani is kind of friends with Kyle and Cara's like disavowing anybody who talks to Kyle, breathes by Kyle, associates with Kyle in any way, shape or form. So that was kind of like awkward between the two of them, and Nani's like, Cara Maria is disgusting. Cara Maria is an awful person, and I'm disgusted by what she has become. You know, there was that whole thing. So I think she's still very much in the mix, involved with, you know, with the drama going on. She has storylines to come back to next season. She has allies to come back to next season. You know, I mean, once Jenna was gone, it's like, who's Nani really even hanging out with anymore? It was just Hunter at that point, and we were all pretty disgusted to see that. So, you know, I wish she had better taste in guys, but I'm glad that she was back. I really enjoyed having her back in the mix here, and like I said, I think she's on the list for next season, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But this elimination was crap. The fact that she went home on this getting tied to the chair thing, and then Georgia got up in less than 5 seconds and took Nani's season away, that was awful.
Yeah, that was easily the weirdest elimination of the season, not only for the reasons laid out earlier, given the contextual factors of women being tied to chairs on this season, but it really did seem like they were just opening the door for whichever two guys got picked to essentially decide who got eliminated.
Yeah, and I mean, her ex-partner, Turbo, was the one who was taping her up while she picked Wes to go tape up Georgia, and I don't know, I guess Wes was very easily distracted by Georgia screaming in Wes's ear, which was a very funny scene. If you've only watched that once, just go watch it again, because it was hysterical, and, you know, props to Georgia for using her voice in a way that I never would have expected to come into play in a elimination, so that was impressive on Georgia's part, but it was still really hard to watch Nani go out like that.
I'm personally chalking this up as kind of an off season for Nani. She definitely showed up from time to time and was fun when she got to be on TV, but in general I'm hoping to usually be seeing more out of Nani on any given season of the challenge, and I am optimistic that in the future that will continue to be the case, because she's certainly been, at least in recent years, one of the real kind of icons of the franchise. So sad to see her end up going out there. We next are going to lose Kyle, who, as mentioned earlier, was already a little erring towards the more pessimistic side after losing potentially the best partner in the game in the form of Maddie. Kyle has always been your boy, Scally, at least in my mind, ever since the first time he was on the challenge. What have you been making of the evolution of Kyle?
Okay, so again, Kyle, not my boy. So
100% your boy. Let the record reflect.
No, definitely not. I'm claiming Turbo now. So with Kyle, I would say I was not excited to see Kyle back coming into the season. I also probably underestimated him as a competitor. I think probably his injuries really factored into him going home, but ultimately, I know a lot of people came around and are now Team Kyle based on him being the opposition to Kara and Polly, but I'm not fully there. I'm fine with seeing him back on next season, but I'm not dying for it.
I feel like Kyle was basically playing with house money ever since he ripped those rings away from CT and whoever the third one was, JP.
Yes,
that's correct.
Where he got to stay in the game. He genuinely seemed like when he came up with those two rings, like he shrugged his shoulders in surprise that he was the one who ended up winning there. And I, much more so than his earlier seasons, actually really enjoyed Kyle here. I thought maybe it's because he was just juxtaposed with Pauly and I'm automatically not Team Pauly. But I thought he was fun being kind of the antagonist to the Pauly and Kara relationship all season long. And it really seems to me like, I know he's someone who's been on TV for a long time, but it seems like he's more coming into his own on what he's put on the challenge to do in the confessionals. And I feel like in that respect, he was worlds better than he had been in either of his previous two seasons, I will guess. Did he only do one season before this?
Right. Yeah, this is correct.
Okay, Kyle has been growing on me a lot more than I ever expected after his first season. So I guess maybe Kyle is my boy at this point, Scally.
Oh, you can have him.
Yeah. Liguori, what did you end up making of Kyle going relatively deep into this season again, despite some of those injuries?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think I enjoyed Kyle a lot more this season. The whole season has been about the UK alliance being such a powerhouse, and Kyle was very much a part of that. And it kind of seemed like, you know, he was the only veteran of that group. The rest of them, Theo, Georgia, Bear, like they were all the new people. So it was kind of like Kyle was out in front, like, this is my crew full of misfits, and like, I'm gonna use them in ways to my advantage. But he's also dealing with the fact that Kara and Pauly are like shoving everything that they're doing in his face, and he was just kind of like, well, I don't really know what's going on here. There's a whole lot. I'm just trying to maybe, you know, hook up with Maddie. I have a great partner. I'm going all the way to the. I feel like he was a lot more fun this season than I would have expected, especially considering we were, I think, all saying, or at least I was saying, I didn't need him on this cast. I feel like he could have taken a break and I would have been fine. But I mean, at this point, he had a pretty good showing this season. He won some of us over, and you know, if he ends up being back on next season and the season after that, then I think I'm fine with it at this point.
Are we, Scally, looking at Kyle being back on next season?
Yeah, I would definitely expect Kyle back. I would say ultimately probably what caused us all to feel good about Kyle is, if you look, all his friends pretty much went home early. He ended up being pretty much the underdog to the Pauly and Kara storyline, whereas last season Kyle came in and he was the one who ended things with Kara, yet he was with Brad and actively, if not targeting her, then making her feel uncomfortable on purpose. And so where he was, you know, more of the villain last time, he's the underdog this time, and we're all falling for it, and it's fine.
Brad, for sure your boy, by the way. I guess let's get to our five. We've already
not yet.
What more do we have on Kyle there, or this episode?
Just not Kyle. This was a pretty big episode. The main challenge of this episode was the Ninja versus Turbo situation that blew up to way more than it ever needed to be. Right, like the main challenge that happened, and it was they were getting the wheelbarrows, and they had to go down, pick up like a bunch of pieces of metal objects from like a refrigerator to like car pieces or whatever, and bring them back up. And this is the episode where Ninja was blowing up on Turbo, like, Turbo, you got to move faster, you got to work harder, we need to get there, blah blah blah, freaking out on him. And then it turns out that they win the challenge. They are in the tribunal and everyone's looking at them like, are you too serious? That really just happened and you won? What the hell was that about? Turbo goes off and he's crying and he's very upset, and this pretty much sets sets up what's coming in the next, you know, the next episode, that Turbo is just not really too forgiving. He's not really happy with Ninja, and these two were friends for apparently the majority of the season. So it seems like a pretty big breakup.
Yeah, it seems like the move is to not piss off Turbo.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, Kara said that in like the end of the last episode, and I found that funny. She was like, "Turbo, I will never make you mad," and he's like, "Yeah, don't mess with me. Like, you don't want to be on the receiving end of that," in his Turbo ways. But yeah, that was not a good look from Ninja. Like I said, I'm not really a whole big Ninja fan, and that just solidified it even more. Don't yell at Turbo like that. He did nothing to deserve that. You guys won.
Yeah, and incidentally, that may have been my favorite challenge of the entire season. I know we have seen so many cool sets and so forth, but I loved having them show up, and the challenge is just, you're going to run up and down these sand dunes for an hour, essentially. I feel like that sort of thing should come up. It shouldn't be every single challenge, but I love having that kind of thing pop up once a season or so, where it is just brute force, do this abysmal, nightmarish task for a very long period of time. And
shout out to Davon, who won that challenge as
well. Yeah, no, I loved having that. As much as I also love having him jump off trucks and dive out of planes or whatever, I thought that was a very cool kind of change of pace and something that really, I think, separates this kind of show from pretty much any other sort of reality TV. There's no other show that would demand that kind of thing out of their competitors.
For sure. And yeah, like I said, Davon brought it in that challenge. You know, it's fun to see somebody like Wes, who, like, you know, he's going to perform well in that challenge. He gets paired up with Davon and he's like, no, this isn't happening right now. Like, this can't be real. And then ends up winning. So, I mean, you never know who the unlikely heroes are going to be in some of these challenges. Some people just kind of pull it up out of nowhere. And that's what makes this show so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's, I suppose, get into now the final person that we're going to end up losing before this final that is set to kick off on Wednesday, and that is D, who, when I was compiling this list of people, I almost even forgot about D being eliminated, because she's made, I would say, one of the smaller impressions of the people that went deep on the season. Where I've known she's been there, but nothing really stands out to me from D. And if we are going to lose someone just before the finals, she probably would have been the person that would have been the top of my list here. But I am absolutely a filthy challenge casual. So, Scally, was I just overlooking how great D was all season?
Okay, well, first of all, thumbs down on Deep. Second of all, going into D on the challenge, I enjoyed her for the better part of the first season. I think this really does come down to the editors knowing that they're going to eventually become a individual challenge, really should have highlighted some of the new players, especially the ones that make it deep, in order to make us invested in their stories. With D, I enjoyed her, but going back to that Ninja and Turbo fight, D jumps in seemingly out of nowhere, and I know Ninja tried to turn it around and say, oh, I was yelling at the sky, I wasn't yelling, and I am a Turbo stan, I acknowledge that, but going back, you can see that wasn't the case. D and Ninja both start yelling. I've completely lost interest at this point in rooting for either of them, and so D going out, very excited about it on this season.
Yeah. Do we think we're going to see D back, Scally?
I think that D would have as good a chance as, you know, most people that make it this far in a season as coming back. I don't think she's at the top of the list, but I do know also in another Challenge Mania interview, she has said she wants to take some time for herself. She's newly single, which would actually, I think, make her more attractive casting for the show. But I think that she has had a few run-ins with the Challenge fan base, which may not be as nice or forgiving as the Geordie Shore Australia fan base.
Yeah, and the translation of that is, I didn't get a call, so I'm just jumping out in front of it saying I don't
also
want to come back.
Also fair.
Yeah, I mean, the same kind of happened with Natalie Negrotti. She's in the same boat right now, saying, I think I just need some time off. They know that they're not really coming back next season, so.
That surprises me about Natalie. I thought she would get a couple more invite, or at least one more invite.
No, I'm sure they will eventually, but you know, sometimes they need to bring in the new blood. They need to take some people off for a season or two, and it seems like both of them might be in that category.
Liguori, based on this first season of D, in the event that she came back, how would you feel about her prospects, both as a potential winner or deep run person, and also her prospects of being more entertaining? Do you feel like there could potentially be more to see here than we got this time around?
I think if she gets a little more comfortable with the rest of the people, you know, being, I think she's been in an environment somewhat like this. She was in like the Jersey Shore, whatever show it was, like down there, whatever. I have no idea what show she was on. But I think she needs to get more comfortable with like the MTV challenge cast with all these people, with the game. Cause obviously most of these rookies didn't know what the game was or what it involves. And obviously she had Wes by her side, which is a very helpful way to get used to it or to get an idea of what it is. To have Wes coaching you through it is the best you could pretty much ask for. But I don't know, Dee didn't really bring it for me. I feel like if you told me she was done on the show forever, I would not be too disappointed. But I don't know, I feel like definitely didn't stand out much.
I would not be disappointed either. Thank you very much. We'll move on from you after that.
You didn't even have to do it.
I didn't have to, but I chose to, and there's no
story
taking it
of
back.
Your life. Yeah.
All right. So let's, I think, get into this group of eight that we are going to watch run this final. And I would say the place we have to start is with a person the popularity of which I cannot recall, short of like a Cerie Fields, in terms of everybody seems to love Turbo. I know, Scally, you are no exception. It's his first season here. He has captured the hearts of all of America and any other country that is watching. Where do you want to begin on what Turbo has done this season?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I stand Turbo. I always like to have an under-the-radar favorite, and I thought I might have that with Turbo. In the preseason, the casting special, I was very excited, and then everyone's on board, and I'm excited for him to be so popular and to come back in future seasons at the expense of me having my under-the-radar favorite. Mm-hmm. But Turbo is, I think, in Turkey, actually, one of, if not the biggest reality TV star that there is. Supposedly, he almost won his third season of Survivor if he had not broken. I had heard originally his leg, but then I heard his back, and who knows which one it was. But Turbo, I find endlessly entertaining. He's a completely different character on the show. I want him back for as many seasons as possible.
Yeah, Turbo is like the Red Viper kind of aesthetic from Game of Thrones, and just kind of presence about him, where he's this international man of mystery who's insanely lethal, but also really compelling just as a speaker, even though obviously doesn't have the most extensive vocabulary compared to pretty much anyone else on the cast. He manages to make some of the boldest statements of the entire season in some of the simplest terms, and I've loved having that distinct, unique personality here in Turbo all season long, and obviously been a complete beast in pretty much all of the challenges he has competed in here. Liguori, what do you think about Turbo's prospects of winning this season as a rookie?
Well, first, I just need to bring up, remember when we were drafting and you were talking about, I want to pick this guy because he has a great name, and that ended up being Chase and not Turbo. I still can't get over that because I was so convinced. It was like, this guy is named Turbo. Of course that's where Colin is going with this. And then you picked Chase, followed by JP, before Turbo was even selected. So I just got to I gotta bring that back in case anybody forgot about it. You don't have to comment on that. It's fine.
No, that was one of like six coin flips that I lost in this draft.
Badly, yes. Definitely definitely lost that one. I think Turbo's prospects of winning this season, pretty high, pretty good. I think he's, like you said, he's performed very well. Like I said, I'm looking at the draft board in front of us because that's how I like to operate during these podcasts. And Turbo, out of the remaining players, Wes has gotten me 39 points. And then right behind him is Turbo, who has 37 points over on Scally's team. So, and then just, I guess, to keep going, Theo has 36 and Hunter has 30 to round out the guys. So I think Turbo has performed very well on this season. I think I don't know. I guess we have to see him in the final to know how he's going to do with the running. Like it's a pretty, it sounds like a pretty intense final coming up. I'm sure he's not going to have any problem with it. But I don't, there is some pretty tough competition. So I don't know if he's going to be the one to pull it out. Cause you know, Paulie just went down, and if Paulie's going to go down, I think anybody could.
Oh, anything can certainly happen, in one of these finals. And I feel slightly worse about Turbo's chances than I otherwise would, just because of the rumors that the next season could be U.S. versus U.K. It seems like they would probably want their returning champion to at least be eligible to participate in such a season. So I don't know if that's really fair to consider in terms of Turbo's chances, because certainly if we were out there watching this being filmed in real time, Turbo might be my like number one pick to take it down at this point, just based on what we've seen from him in the competition so far. Although it is very hard to overlook Wes being here in the final with way more challenge experience, and I would guess a pretty sizable advantage when it comes to things like puzzles and other non-physical things that may pop up along the way in a final. And so I would feel like these two would really stand out to me as the two top dogs entering this final. Scally, actually, let me start with you, Liguori, on Wes, because you picked Wes number one overall in this draft. I imagine you're feeling good about that pick at this point.
I'm feeling good about it, but I don't know. I mean, you're looking at it and saying that, like, I think Wes is standing out to you the most. I almost, in a way, feel like Theo might be standing out to me the most, and we'll talk about him soon eventually as well. But I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen enough from Wes to make me feel confident that he still has it to go all the way in a final. And I know I just said that he has like the most points from the guys on our board so far, but I don't know why I'm just not feeling super confident in him. I think it's just because this field of guys is so strong. I don't know. I think Wes has put a lot of investment in this season into his alliance with Hunter and making sure that he's well protected in the house. His political game has been as on point as it ever has been. He knows what he's doing in these challenges. He took out Bananas early on, and he has pretty much been in control of the game. He's been safe, and his pieces have been safe alongside the entire time. But when you get to the final, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it'll pay that he has Hunter by his side, because if there's any kind of like, here's where you can screw over somebody else, like he'll have Hunter, and the two of them will screw over Turbo and Theo. So maybe that'll be beneficial. I don't know. I feel like it's, like I said, it's just such a tough group of guys.
Yeah. Again, any permutation of order of finish would not surprise me in any given final. And it sounds like it's going to be pretty grueling, and certainly if running is going to be a big piece of that, then you've got to be looking closely at Theo having quite an advantage for sure. It, I think primarily for me, just comes down to how strong Wes has looked all season, and I do feel like we may be at least getting set up for the trajectory where he can close this out, and I think if he did, this would have to go down as one of the best seasons ever played, right, Scally?
Yeah, I was going to say, even without knowing the results of the final, like, is this Wes's best season? I think there's definitely a very strong case for it to be made. If you look through at the final eight right now, it's Turbo and Wes sitting at the top with six challenge wins each. I think that Wes is definitely set up well to go into this final. I don't really see it as much as with Theo as Liguori may, but I am excited to see if Wes can pull it out. I know that he obviously has the most challenge experience out of anyone outside of maybe Kara. I don't remember their final counts, but I think that is probably close to invaluable, actually. I think that he is well-balanced in running, mental, and anything else that's really going to help him out in this final.
I am torn, once again, between Wes and Turbo, not just being what I would consider the front runners entering this, and maybe that is, you know, totally flawed analysis, but I'm also interested in the perspective of the show, like the challenge as a franchise. I also think the two best outcomes, just based on what we've seen to this point, for what the show would want going forward, would probably be Turbo or Wes winning. Does that sound right, or does anyone else stand out to you, Liguori, in terms of really good for the state of the challenge going forward?
No, I'd say those are definitely the top two picks. I feel like, you know, in terms of like star power, obviously, like you said, Turbo is like the fan favorite. Wes is like the star. You know, Wes and Bananas are still like the two biggest names on the season. You know, CT as well, I guess. I don't know, but CT is falling asleep at the wheel every time he comes back now. And then, of course, you have Cara and Maria on the girl side. Like I said, do we really need her winning every season? I mean, she has made the fourth final in a row now. To be fair, she only won one of those three times that she's made the final in the past three seasons. But I don't know. Like, I think in terms of the show, you know, thriving and having a different group of people winning, it's probably best that it's one of those two guys that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how Wes performs now that he is back in a final. Scally, do we know when was the last time Wes was even in a final?
Oh, I do not have that off the top
of
my head.
Maybe the season that he won Rivals 2 with CT. I think after that, he was on Rivals 3, but him and Nani did not make a final in that season. So it's probably when he won.
All right. So it's been a minute since Wes has had the kind of spotlight on him to this extent. But I am guessing that will be one of the main stories of this finale, win or lose, is Wes and his journey through that final. So I guess let's get into a little bit Theo, who's come up along the way here. And I definitely do buy that Theo has plenty of win equity, especially if they are ramping up the difficulty and making running more of a factor than it potentially has been these last few years. Theo was Kara's partner all season when that was a thing, and it seemed like he was not super visible early on. But Liguori, what have you made of Theo over the course of this season?
Yeah, he's been he's one of the many rookies that I think, you know, could have been bigger stars in the show, but they kind of just got a little under-edited. I don't really know what caused that, but he's an amazing athlete. Like we said, we said this in the preseason or whenever we talked about it, that he had trained for the Olympics. I don't know if he ever actually ran in the Olympics. I don't think he has, but he's incredibly fast. He's incredibly strong. Him and Kara, I think if the two of them were still a team, I think they would have dominated this final together, especially, you know, now that, I mean, it's a whole different season if Paulie's still in and Paulie's Ninja are still in there together, but I think he's been very impressive. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back just because, you know, he's part of the UK Alliance. He's relevant to the story. And like you said, he's very strong. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him back next season as well.
Yeah, Scally, what have you made of Theo?
Okay, so I do agree that Theo was definitely quiet early. I think on a normal season where they're not bringing in this many new people, I wouldn't be surprised to see the winner have a quiet start for the challenge. They have a much different winner's edit than most other shows. But for someone that is completely new to the franchise, I would be a little surprised to see them not build him up a little bit more. He's come on strong recently, but I don't ultimately have Theo in my top few picks for winning this final.
Who, if there is a way to read into this sort of thing, has stood out to you from like an edit perspective, if anyone?
I do think, okay, so let's face it, this has been Wes's season all over. He's, you know, his fingerprints are everywhere. He's had the most confessionals, the most airtime. I think Turbo, while having less screen time, he's instantly, like, you can have a confessional from Turbo in the episode and you're going to remember him. He's going to stand out. And I think that the other one, who I'm sure we'll talk about very soon, is I think that this has been a very big debut season for Georgia. Do I think it's going to lead to a win? Maybe not, but I think that she is someone that they are heavily investing in for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am with you. I think Turbo is one of the easiest people they've ever had in terms of being able to sell them quickly. And maybe someone like Theo would take a little more nuance or maybe even more like forcing him upon the audience. But I have liked Theo, and it wouldn't blow my mind if he ends up coming away with the win here. Likewise, I would also not be blown away. And I don't think any of these winners, with maybe one exception, any of these hypothetical winners would really surprise me on finale night. But it's very hard to be surprised, I would say, if we end up seeing Hunter technically win his second season in a row, or at least technically win his second final in a row, albeit not getting any prize money from last time. Liguori, what have you made of Hunter's journey through here? It seems like mostly in Wes's pocket, at least the way the story has presented it, and his prospects in this final.
Yeah, Wes turned him into like a robot this season. It was like, this guy doesn't seem like he wants to be there too bad. He obviously got burned at the end of last season with the whole Ashley thing. He got his redemption at the beginning of this season. He got to take Ashley out directly. You know, him and Georgia took down Ashley and Chase in the first elimination of the season. So I don't know. I feel like he's just kind of been not interested. He packed his bags an episode or two ago. He was like, oh yeah, like I'm really not feeling this, I'm gonna go home. And everyone else around him was getting pissed off. They were like, you're at the final and you want to go home? So I can't imagine that whatever he's going through right now, like he's in any kind of mental space to go through and win a final here. I think he's definitely like the fourth out of the guys on the rankings, and probably, I mean, if there's one winner, then you want to rank them all together, he might be at the bottom of my list, eight out of eight, in terms of who I think has a chance to win this. He just doesn't seem like he's got his heart in it. I don't know what's going on, but it's not looking like his time.
Can't disagree with that, and I think I would probably put him at 7 out of 8, and we'll get to that other person a little later. But again, it's very difficult for me to just count Hunter out because of what I've seen him do physically. It just seems like he probably would have gotten a bit more of like a redemption kind of story based on everything that went down last season if this one were to go his way. Scally, where have you been on Hunter?
Hunter winning is my doomsday scenario of these eight. I would not be excited at all. Hunter's one that he hasn't necessarily been the worst for me on this season, but I've definitely come into the season just not a Hunter fan, not excited for it. His head hasn't seemed like it's in it recently. So I am hoping that we do not see that come to pass.
Yeah, I feel like Hunter is someone we should probably strap ourselves in for being on the challenge for a while. No?
There's been some news.
Oh, what's the news?
He might be busy. Hunter's expecting a baby.
So what? And plenty of people on the challenge have babies.
Yeah, but like this is like fresh. This is new. This is like it seems like there's some stuff going on. I don't know. It seems like it was not expected. It seems like I don't know if there's like a whole lot of happiness I don't want to comment. I don't know the full details, but I feel like he might need a season or two off.
Okay.
I don't know.
What I was getting at is I'm strapping myself in for a lot more Hunter potentially, but I'm really not sure he's ever going to be someone that super resonates with me.
No, not at all.
I think that's fair.
Noted Haley Strong, if she were here right now, she would be telling you how much she hates Hunter, how much she wishes she would never have to deal with Hunter on the TV ever again. Not a Hunter guy, Haley Strong.
Well, it sounds like she may end up getting her wish there.
Yeah.
Let's look over at the women's side of this final. And again, it doesn't seem like they're going to be separated between men and women, but they are on my notes. So let's, I think, start with I'm willing to call the front runner at this point. It's her fourth final in a row. We've seen her win plenty relatively recently on the challenge. It's Cara Maria. Liguori, another long journey for Cara Maria through the course of this season. What do you make of her prospects now entering this final and the path that she took to get here?
Yeah, she's got just as good of a shot as she always does, which is a very good shot. All of the rookie females that are running the final against her are exactly that. They are rookies. So in terms of that, I think she's standing out very much as a front runner. Like you said, I think her path to get here, she's been, you know, tucked in with Pauly every single day and night. They've been working together. She's had a little bit of a working relationship with Wes, and obviously Wes has been controlling the house. So I don't know. It's been kind of hard to follow her gameplay this season because it's really just been the Kara and Pauly show. But I mean, as of lately, she's been working with Pauly and Turbo, or she was, you know, while Pauly was in the game. And it seems like they were getting somewhere. They were taking out a couple of people that they were aiming to take out. out. So I think she's done the best that she possibly could. But I mean, she's not making any new friends. It's not like people are going into like the next season saying like, really love Kara. Glad we had such a great time with her in War of the Worlds. Can't wait to work with her next season. So, I mean, even if she does win this final, I feel like she might be going downhill. She's just making more enemies than she ever does make friends.
She certainly has gone downhill for me. I mean, prior to Cam emerging onto the scene, Kara was my favorite challenge contestant for many, many years. And I'm sure it has been mostly Pauly kind of bringing her down in my esteem. But it really does seem like since he's come along, she has actively just tanked her own kind of social political game in favor of pouting in a corner with him, and has happened to be able to get by because she is so good, at all of the physical things that are thrown her way, and that is the bulk of what determines how these seasons end up playing out. But I'm totally with you that it's hard for me to even believe how little I'm rooting for Kara to end up winning this season, but here we are. Scally, where are you on the state of modern Kara Maria?
Okay, so what I want to say is, first, if Kara were to win this season, I don't think this is the edit we're necessarily getting. I was probably not as high on Kara as most people were coming into this season, and similarly, I don't think I'm as low on her now as I would say most of the fan base is in general, and even as low as you guys are. I would say the level of vitriol, especially from the fan base this season sent her way, was pretty absurd. And I think she'll be able to handle it ultimately, but I'm interested to see where she does go from here. I think it's been mostly due to, and I've said I've come around on Pauly, but the outside factors have kind of put her in this position. So I don't think this is her season. I think she's had a great season, especially when her and Theo were together. But I am interested to see, let's see where season 34 goes.
And you mentioned the edit, just to comment on that. I'm a couple seasons into watching like the challenge in real time. This is, I don't know, like my seventh or eighth season. And you guys know that I like went back and binged everything from before that, but I still could not identify a challenge winner's edit, to save my life. I don't think that there is one, honestly. It really doesn't feel like I've ever been able to pick up on something that I'm like, oh, this is the winner's story. Last season, we went into the final thinking like, Hunter and Ashley were like not so high on the list because they had barely been on the show besides like, you know, they won a couple of things, but they hadn't been like a main part of the storyline. So I really just have no way of personally finding who the winner is based on that.
Yeah, I would say it's less a winner's edit that I'm looking for and more of a loser's edit. And I don't think that for who is the female face of the franchise for them, they are going to tank this heavily on a season that she wins individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always felt similarly, where I have an impossible time trying to pick the winner based on the edit, but I feel like it's not always impossible to figure out who's not winning. And while there aren't many that I am ruling out at this point, Kara would, I would imagine, get probably some better treatment along the way if she were to end up taking this thing down. But who knows? It's certainly in play. I will not be ruling Kara Maria out once this final ends up kicking off, and I would imagine that that's going to continue to be the case for Kara going forward, is that she's going to keep being back. I'm guessing as long as she and Pauly are together, that's going to continue to be their primary storyline, and we'll see how the politics surrounding those two evolve with the rest of the people on a given cast. But at this hour, I am pretty over the current state of Kara Maria. And whatever it takes for Pauly to not benefit at all from this season means I am rooting against Kara Maria getting any meaningful amount of money.
Yeah, stop hating on Pauly.
I will not. All right. So I guess let's get into the other person that it sounds like, I think it was you, Scally, was talking about as a low-key contender based on the edit. Someone I've really liked in her first season here, Georgia, who has been a real rocket all season long, both in the competitions and also delivering in the drama department. She was a lot of fun going back and forth with Bear, and obviously I'm guessing that's going to be a relationship that we continue to see evolve over the years, assuming they're both back. Did they know each other? Were they both Love Island people?
So Bear was not Love Island. I believe they did know each other. I think a lot of like the UK celeb reality contestants really all run in the same circles. So I think they probably knew each other. At least they definitely knew of each other. But in terms of Georgia on the challenge, I would say coming into the season, I've watched Love Island. I knew both Theo and Georgia. I was pretty confident in why they cast Theo, and I liked Georgia, but I was not 100% sure why they brought her here. Now that I have seen it play out, I am loving Georgia on the challenge way more than I ever did on Love Island, and I'm excited to see if that means good things for this season and hopefully the future.
She's been one of the biggest surprises to me, not only as a really entertaining and funny character, was certainly one of the comedy MVPs of this season, but also she has been really holding her own, it seems, in a lot of the challenges. And I would, at this point, still certainly have her drawing quite live to do really well in this final. It seems like certainly, if again, to go back to running, if that is a big factor, I feel like I've seen her being really good on the treadmill or just at cardio in general. So I've got to feel good about Georgia there. LaGoria, what have you thought about Georgia along the way here?
Yeah, I love Georgia from Love Island, even though it was like a pretty short stint that she had on there compared to some of the other cast members who go for like an entire season. She kind of came in late on that show, but I wanted to see her do well. I drafted her. She was my second to last pick and ended up being the like third or something highest point getter on my team. Like, she has 1 point more than Cara Maria right now. Like, that's, I think she had a pretty good season thus far, and I think her chances in the final are just as good as, if not better, than pretty much all of the other rookies around her. I think her, Theo, are both looking pretty good. Like you said, Georgia is pretty good in terms of endurance. Paulie picked her for that challenge that they did with the wheelbarrows because I guess they've all been impressed by what they've seen from her, that she has the heart and she seems like she's physically capable of doing a lot more than maybe we would have expected going into it. So I definitely have her high. I don't know if she's going to win compared to, you know, some of these other stronger players, but I think she could definitely finish maybe like third or something if she has a good showing.
I already called Davon the steal of the draft. I was later going to amend that and call Turbo the steal of the draft, but Georgia may end up being the actual steal of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in terms of like the steal of the draft, you probably want to go with what, like the latest person picked that ended up being really strong. So I guess that technically would be Georgia, who was picked after Turbo. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, very much looking forward to Georgia, not just in this final, but very optimistic about Georgia just being a fun presence, hopefully for many years to come on the challenge. And likewise, although I have heard that she may not be in the mix to be coming back for next season, but I have really liked what I have seen out of Maddie this season. And I feel like she has immediately cemented herself as someone who is in there in the mix to win pretty much any season of the challenge they end up putting her on. Skyly, I know she was someone you had your eye on preseason. How did you feel like this ended up playing out?
Competitively, I think that Maddie is exactly what I expected. Just having the sheer height advantage of being 6 foot tall, everything else will come. You can figure it out. And I think Maddie's great socially. I know that there were a lot of scenes where Maddie, she was hooking up with Kyle, she was fighting, she was, you know, getting into these arguments and strategy and whatever the case may be. And they chose not to use that in the final edit. Partially, I think, going back to the episode structure of having an elimination every episode. And partially, I think, I'm not sure if this is who you had in mind. I might have Maddie as my 8 out of 8 in terms of who has the win equity to win this season.
She is not the person that I had in mind. I would feel very good about Maddie, maybe not so much in a final, but just in general as a challenge contestant, going deep very often in seasons, especially seasons where they ultimately are split by gender, just because, you know, as we mentioned earlier, You can hit the treadmill all you want, but you can't. There's no treadmill for being good at the social game. There's also no treadmill for being 6 feet tall. One of the most common phrases in sports is you can't teach size. And I feel like Maddie is going to have a lot of things going for her in any season of the challenge that she does end up on in the future. Although, again, it sounds like, Scally, that may not be something that's happening anytime soon.
Yeah, for whatever reason, and like I've said, I get that they weren't using her fights or anything that was super entertaining from Maddie this season, but it's not like they didn't know it happened. They're on location, they see it, yet for some reason, allegedly, Maddie has not gotten the call for next season, which confuses me. I don't know. I've heard allegedly there may be some reason. It is not posted on anywhere that I am looking because I am avoiding spoilers. But in terms of what I have seen, I don't get why they wouldn't bring Maddie back.
Yeah, that came as a big surprise to me as well. Liguori, what have you made of your namesake, Maddie?
That's a good point. I heard the same thing that Scally's heard. It sounds like she's not getting the call back. But then again, I don't know. I guess if there is some kind of behind-the-scenes issue, you never know. Maybe they figure it out in like the next week or two and she ends up on the plane. We really never know what's going on until they actually fly out to start filming the season. But I don't know what could have gone wrong there. I think she's definitely been quieter on the show than I would have expected. You've been very high, I think, Colin, on her like her chances as a overall competitor. Obviously her size is something that benefits her greatly, but I don't know. We heard a lot from Kyle about how people feared Maddie and people like he felt so good with having her as his partner because nobody wanted to go against them when he had her by his side. So I mean, if she did come back for future seasons, I think she would probably continue to do well, at least physically. It's the kind of like the Cara Maria thing. Cara hasn't been into an elimination all season long, which is something that happens pretty often with Cara, because nobody wants to face her and nobody's going to call out Maddie either. So if she can find a way to get back, I think she'll be looking pretty good. But I don't know. I guess, and plus that goes back to something you said earlier about Turbo. Like if it sounds like she's not coming back, I don't know if she's winning this thing.
Yeah, that just crossed my mind as well. Yeah, I would probably put her as a firm 8 out of 8 if she's definitely not getting the call to be back on next season.
Right.
But I don't know if that's how I would be handicapping it out there. The person, as you may have guessed by process of elimination, that I had at 8 out of 8 coming in here was Ninja Natalie, just because I guess we've seen enough of her that I wouldn't be super blown away if she did end up winning. It just, between being a rookie and being, it seems, smaller than the other girls and also having to compete against all the guys, I'm not sure what kind of final it would have to be for Ninja Natalie to be even one of the front runners. It seems like her skill set, like ropes courses and upper body strength is not generally something that comes up in finals. But I don't know, Scally, where are you landing on Ninja Natalie's chances?
Okay, the reason why I have Ninja Natalie above Maddie is because while they've probably gotten almost equal amounts of screen time, I think we're probably getting as much of there is with Ninja Natalie, whereas I think that there's more of Maddie that's getting left on the cutting room floor. So do I understand why Ninja would not be brought back in another season? Yes, but I would be surprised never to see her again. I think ultimately if they do go US versus UK, that's where we may end up seeing some of these US newbies get the cut on this next season.
Mm-hmm. Did you like Ninja Natalie on this season?
I think I did early, just in terms of if you come in and you're a good challenge competitor, you have a little bit of a leg up. You don't have to, because not everyone's going to prove their personality in the first few episodes. So at least you stand out. In terms of getting deep, I don't really feel like I know Ninja. I don't feel like there was much of a storyline there. And then once it was, she was fighting with Turbo and we all know how I'm siding there.
Mm-hmm. I think Ninja was fun enough for me, for sure. When we did get to see her, it just seems to me like her skill set is fairly specific, and it's going to get the job done for sure in a lot of main matches. It is just the final that leaves me a bit concerned. But Liguori, where have you come down on Ninja Natalie?
I feel like I've mentioned a couple of times this podcast that I am not a very big Ninja Natalie fan. I don't know. Just something about her. I don't enjoy her as a character. I feel like she's way too confident for no good reason. I feel like she maybe just came into the game with Pauly by her side and she was like, all right, we got this. We're strong. And the smile is just never wiped off of her face, besides the fact that she was screaming at Turbo a few episodes ago. And I don't know. There's not much here that I'm enjoying. And I don't know. I don't think that she's somebody who got a call next season. I don't remember. The lists are kind of all over the place right now. But if she didn't get a call, I promise I will not be too upset about it. And in terms of the final, I'd say that I probably agree with you. I think she's not the highest on my list of competitors. But the fact that she is, you know, an athlete and she is training for, regardless of like what specifically the strengths are of the final that she might need or might not need. Like she is seemingly an athlete that is working on just keeping, you know, keeping her strengths up all year long. So I feel like she's not drawing dead by any means.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can do when you're like 5'5" or whatever. They're, you know, focusing on like cardio may not be the worst call. And upper body strength obviously is a big thing she has going for her. I mean, she is certainly a fun presence for me on the show. She is competitive in all of the challenges, and crucially, she is a horrible loser, which I think is great for any kind of competitive reality show. But I, at this point, I would not be projecting Natalie to be the winner a very big percentage of the time once we end up through with this final. But let's get, for the record, your guys' official winner picks now that we are about to see how this ends up playing out. I know it's tougher, a lot tougher to say with any season of The Challenge than it is at this point in Survivor or Big Brother or pretty much any other show we watch. But Scally, lock it in. Who you got?
I mean, I think we all know I'm not going anywhere but Turbo. I don't know that it's necessarily – I would say that I would – if I had to bet money, I might go West, but I'm going Turbo. I'm sticking with Turbo. It's what I want to happen. I'm manifesting it. It's going to happen.
Ligori, call your shot.
I don't know why my gut's telling me to go with Theo, but I'm going to go with Theo.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm stuck with the running, and I feel like if this challenge, if this final is as intense as they say, and it involves any kind of running, hiking up a mountain or something like that, I feel like my money's on Theo.
Yeah, I almost made my pick first so I could take Turbo and then say no one else could take him, just to see where Scally would go there. But I will mix it up, and with those two off the board, I feel I can go no direction other than Wes for my winner pick. I think it would be a great wrap-up for the season, and I think would end a historically good season for my money in a really perfect way. So both rooting for and thinking it could go quite well for Wes. Guys, there you have it. Any other takes you want to get out on the record before we see this play out?
How cool is Chase's name to you these days? You still high on it?
One of these years I'll win a coin flip and do well in these drafts, okay?
You didn't do terrible last time.
I don't think I've ever had a sweat entering a finale, and that's my goal for next season.
All right, well, looking forward to that very much. Also looking forward to seeing how this finale ends up. I wish I knew when it was or how long it was or when the finale is going to air. But, you know, it's also almost time for the new cast to depart. So I think I'm a little bit more excited for that than I am for the final. But either way, an exciting time.
It's like Survivor 40 syndrome almost.
Yeah,
so
yes.
Thank you guys for coming on and staying up so late with me. Very much appreciated. Brian Scally, one of the most underrated accounts on Twitter. Where can people find you?
Oh, thank you very much. I am at Brian_Scally on Twitter. That's Brian with an I, Scally, S-C-A-L-L-Y. And then I was also over on the Drag Race wrap-up this week with Brent and Liana talking about RuPaul's Drag Race, and I believe that was just released tonight, so you can find me over there as well.
Awesome. And now to a very accurately rated Twitter account. Matt Ligori, where can people find you?
Scally has a plug and I don't. What is this? Well, I guess I can plug something. You find me on Twitter at Matt Liguori. I guess check out my Survivor blog if you're listening to this before the season is over. My last blog of the season, I just posted it up a couple hours ago. We'll see if we're heading towards the possible inevitable outcome on Wednesday night. Hopefully not, but should be fun to see how that one plays out as well. So yeah, on Twitter, Matt Liguori.
Yeah, quick Survivor calls for the record as well. I think we're all going to be on the same page in terms of the ultimate result, but this is something I asked Dom on this week's podcast. And I'll ask you to date this podcast for any people listening to this in the future who will already know the outcome here. But Scally, over under 10.5 jury votes for Rick Devens on Wednesday.
I am going under.
Liguori?
Under as well.
I'm going over. I'm sticking with over. I just want to watch the world burn, I think. I would love to see 13-0-0. But
Yeah, I mean, I'm going under, but I could easily see it be like 9 or 8. So I'm not going too far under.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it has to be at least like 7, or else he will lose.
Well, you know, I mean, 7's, I think 7's the number that you need, or at least 6. I don't know how it would
play
out.
Yeah, you could split it. You could split it 6.
10 just sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But we'll see how that ends up playing out, as we will the first part of the challenge finale on Wednesday night. Guys, thank you once again for taking so much time. And I'm sure we'll be back talking more challenge relatively soon once we find out the cast for the following season. So until then, you can follow my very overrated Twitter account at Colin Stone. Not that anyone's even really rating my Twitter account, but I needed to complete the trifecta there. And I guess that is probably going to do it. Dom and I will be back with our Survivor Season in Review podcast relatively soon. I'm guessing plenty of people listening to this would be interested in that as well. But until then, we will talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.